I think it's that time we need to preach, right? It's kind of like that's how it goes. You know, who enjoyed last week's series? We started our series on Psalm 23. We're just doing a three-week series on Psalm 23. And so this week is going to be a really good week because we talk about your fear and my fear. Who has maybe just a skerrick of fear in their life every now and then? Just a few people? So it's a good thing to talk about. It's mentioned in the Bible a fair bit. I'm going to share that with you today. And so let's go, if you haven't, to your Bibles, to Psalm 23. Now, while you're looking that up or getting your, because I don't see or hear many rustling pages, everyone over 60 is looking at their Bible physically. No, look at this. All right. Who's not reading from the actual paper? Give me a wave. About 50%, 60%? Okay. So technology has come a long way. We know that already. Now, so Psalm 23, what was I going to say? Oh, something that Wes said is quite true. But our Christmas, actual Christmas entertainment, performance, our big event for the year is actually, we're putting it on early, it's actually the 4th of December. And so that's only a few weeks' time. We have our big Christmas service you can invite your friends to. What date is it, church? The 4th of December. So that's the big Christmas bonanza. That's when you want to be here. And Robert Sadal and Hazel and the team have got, the Filipinos have got some great stuff for us as well, which is going to be fun. So who's looking forward to that? All right, Psalm 23. Let's look at it. Let's read it to start. That's a good place to go in case you weren't here last week. And it says, from the New King James Version, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord," sometimes, "forever." Amen. Just checking that you're, you know, I could be cheating. That wasn't very funny, I know. Anyway. The Bible says that those who trust in the Lord, those that know the Lord as their shepherd, he will be with them. The Lord is my shepherd. It also says in this psalm that he will be under them. He makes them lie down in green pastures. There's going to be green pastures if you're feeling dry right now. You're going to get through whatever's happening right now. It also says that he will be beside them. He leads you beside still waters. It also says that he will be after them. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. And lastly, he will be ahead of you. He prepares a table for you. And so when the Lord is your shepherd, you shall not want for food. You shall not want for strength. You shall not want for guidance. You shall not want because you are satisfied because you have a shepherd who is there with you, guiding you through life. He provides for you. He provided for the widow by bringing a coin into the fish's mouth. He provided for Peter when he thought there were no fish in the ocean. Who's ever had an experience like that? You've been fishing and you think there's no fish in the ocean. You don't catch anything. He provided for the widow's two sons who thought that she was actually going to lose everything, God found a way through. And he provided, this is my favorite, 180 gallons of wine at the end of the wedding feast from mere water. You see, Christ gives you your identity. Christ gives you your purpose, and Christ gives you your future. And so I just wanted to give you a little bit of a rundown from last week. He's your shepherd, and you shall not want. And so this morning, the title of my message is, Walk Through Your Fear. Say it with me. Walk through your fear. Psalm 23, verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. The valley of the shadow of death, I've looked up a few different scholars on this. Who's ever watched one of those cowboy movies and they're going through one of those skinny little ravines and they're looking up, who's going to get me? And they, you know, it's either the Indians or it's the bad guys. And they've got their guns and they're hanging over the edge of the precipice. And you have to walk through. It's kind of like that. It's dangerous. It also says that in the actual Bible, it means that there is very dense forest as well. It's hard to navigate through. Who feels like that sometimes in life, that it's hard to navigate through? That we have complex lives and sometimes it's like, how do we get through? We get through because we have a shepherd. And it also says in this passage that there's these wild beasts that are there to scare us. When you're walking, in, especially at night time, and you're hearing all those noises, some of you, that's just a cockroach at home. You run a mile, just squash it. You know, there are things in our life that scare us. We wouldn't last, most of us, because we're city people, 5 minutes in the outback of Australia without having some knowledge. There are things that scare us. There are ravines, the Bible is saying, that will help, what we can slide down and cause us to actually be stuck. Who's ever found that there's kind of ravines that we can fall down in life and find ourselves stuck at times and not knowing how to get out? See, the valley of the shadow of death is a dark, gloomy, horrible, cold, damp, disgusting place. It's not a place that we want to stay in for very long, but sometimes we end up there. Sometimes, like David is saying, we're in a valley of the shadow of death. But the good news is, turn to your neighbor and say, this is good news. The good news is the shepherd is with us and we are going to walk through. We're going to walk through. You are going to get through whatever your situation is. You're going to get through because you have Jesus there with you. You're not just doing this alone, church. You're not just, well, I'm stuck here, I've got to find a solution. No, we have a shepherd and he has a rod and a staff and he's looking out for you and I and he's there to protect us, he's there to guide us, he's there to help us. Don't run ahead too quickly. Don't try and run backwards. Stand your ground. The shepherd's with you. He's got his staff. He's fighting off the things that you think are going to destroy you. He's stabbing the enemy. He's pulverizing the... He's working for you. He's going to get you through. He loves you. He cares for you. We have a shepherd. And so you may have some dark moments. Sometimes it may even last a few years. But you're going to walk through. Church, you're going to walk. You know, recently, it was October, I had some very late nights in Africa. In fact, some nights I didn't sleep at all. There were things pressing on my mind. Do people have things pressing on their minds sometimes? There are situations that we face that, you know, it's like they're just stuff. And there's like way too many problems to handle in one night, you know? All this stuff. Why does that happen? All these things that are just... And yet it's like you can't really get to sleep that easily. I don't know, it says be anxious for nothing. Sometimes it's difficult, right? And so we've got a Lord and Savior. And the beauty is that even in those times, at least we can get out of bed like I did and pray. At least we can actually go, Lord, just come over me. I don't know what to do, but I know that you're my shepherd. You have the answers. You're my God. I don't know what that was. There it is again. It's a mighty big rat. So I was saying I had some long nights in Africa and there's things pressing on my mind. But you know what I found? Because it's kind of dark in that situation, right? There's a lot of stuff happening. Morning always came. And I'm going to say today that morning's coming. It may be night, but the morning's coming. It may be tough for you right now. It may be like one of those years from hell. You know, I don't know. But the thing is, the next day is coming. The sun's going to rise. You're going to get through. We've got to stay with the shepherd, though. Church, don't bail on the one who is the shepherd, the one who's the one who's got all the answers. See, no winter lasts forever. Summer's going to turn up. The trial you're in today is not going to last forever. You will come out of it. Keep your eyes on him. The worst case scenario is that you suffer through this life for whatever reason, but all the same, as you keep your eyes on him, as you stay connected, a new day is coming. Some of you don't seem real excited about that. A new day is coming. Eventually, a new day is coming. The Lord is going to take you out of your suffering at one point in this life anyway. It's going to be a best day of your life. A new day. And so, you know, you're going to get through. Friday wasn't a good day for Jesus. Saturday looked particularly gloomy. There was lots of murmurings. There were lots of, well, I don't know what that was all about. Even the disciples are starting to think, well, I don't understand. But Sunday was like a bright summer day. My goodness. Everything comes alive when we stay in him. Jesus came out of the hole. In the ground. The stone was rolled away. He wasn't there. It was the resurrection and the life. And so there is a great out of the dark place. We find resurrection life in Christ. We find who we've been. We find the answer. And actually sometimes we have to go through stuff. And we get stronger on the other side. And David is saying, in spite of the fact that I'm walking through a valley, being a Christian. This is really good. Being a Christian does not inoculate you against valleys and pains and hardship and trials and testings. Being a Christian is not all dancing with the tulips. It's not about swinging from a rainbow.
being a Christian is not actually pleasure-seeking all the time. He's not a God that solves all our problems so we have an awesome life. In that sense, he does solve our problems, but there's a journey for us to go through. And if you thought Christianity somehow protects you from pain and hardship, you have the wrong religion. Christianity is not for the faint-hearted. At C3 Frio, we're not faint-hearted, are we, church? We are lion people. We roar. We, if the enemy's coming for us, we stand our ground. If we are feeling like things are getting too much for us and we're going to cave in, there are people that will stand with us. There are devils and enemies that try and get us from left field at times, but as we continue to stand and say, Lord, whatever it is, even if you've made a mistake, who here has never made a mistake in life? I've made lots, Susan. Isn't little Joshua cute today? You know, I've made so many mistakes in life. Are you the same? You silly boy sometimes, you know? But God still cares. God still loves us. And as we keep submitting to the shepherd, we will get through. And so, if you live out the call of God on your life, the beauty is, it's going to be high adventure. It will be high risk at times, but it's also the greatest life that you're ever going to have because Jesus comes through and you go, wow. My new friend, Andy Gorman, who lives in C3 Accra, he's an English man. With two young girls, well, one's about 17, I think, now, and the other one's about 12. And they live with his wife in C3 Accra, run Hope City Accra, which is a C3 church. And he drives this massive truck. And so, being a bloke, I looked at his truck and I thought, I like your car. And you know, the wheels are up to here on me. Well, not quite, about there. Anyway, then he picks me up one morning and it had been raining all night in Ghana and it was for the church service on the Sunday morning. It hadn't stopped and he pulls up and he's got this big grin on his face and he's got all the girls for church in the back of the car. And I says, how are you? And he goes, I'm good. I'm glad I've got this car. The water was up to the first level when I left home this morning of my house. The second level's okay. That's where we live. The first level's just like swimming. It's a swimming pool. The storm was so bad, it took out my antenna on my roof and I've lost all my power. And so we're driving to church and he's plowing through these massive puddles. It's hard not to be kind of like, oh, this is good. You know, it's a man thing, all right? I get it. Anyway, on the way home after church, we're chatting away and it was just me and him. And he's dropping me back at the hotel and he says to me, I ask him actually, I says, so how do you service your car? Because I haven't seen any service repairers. And he looks at me like strange and he goes, we don't have car service people. You don't just put your car in for a service. I said, what do you mean? He goes, well, I've got this guy that'll change my oil. And then I've got this other guy that if I've got a bit of a technical problem, he'll sort that out for me. And then I've got another guy and he'll do my automatic transmission. And then there's another guy. You see, when we are with God and we have a shepherd with us, it may not be the simplest answer, but he always finds a way to help us get through. And so, we have high energy levels because we have a massive God. You can't be a sleepy Christian for very long. It just doesn't work. He's going to find a way. In the middle of the valley, you will fear no evil. Jesus is there with you. He hasn't left you. I will fear no evil because you are with me. And Jesus is going to be with me in my painful moments as much as in my glorious moments. As I walk with Jesus, I'm going to get to the other side. So, My marriage may be in trouble right now. My kids may be off track. The doctor brings a bad report. It financially looks bleak. Finding full-time employment is difficult. You need to understand today that you're going to get to the other side of that thing. It may seem impossible. And it will if you just look at it through your own eyes. But then you do have a God that is with you in the valley. And so whilst the wild beasts might be trying to attack you, while the ravines are trying to trap you, his presence assures you of success. You will not only come through it, but you will be a different person at the end of it. And when you go through, you'll be full of faith on the other side. When you go through, you'll be stronger on the other side. When you go through, you'll be closer to Christ than you've ever been before. And the greatest prize you can win in this life is the presence of Jesus in your world. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, because you are with me. In Isaiah 43 verse 1 it says, "But now thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and who formed you, O Israel, fear not." Say it with me, fear not. One more time, fear not. You see, Isaiah 43 2 continues, "When you pass through the waters, I will be there with you. When you pass through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. And when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned." There's three guys. It reminds me of the three guys that actually went into the fiery furnace. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, says, "Go in there. You've got a God? Well, you're going to have to trust him now. You're really going to have to trust him." And he peers in and he can hardly get close enough because it's so hot. It's melting his face away. He has to go back. And he goes, "I thought we only put three in. Why are there four in there?" Because the shepherd went in with him. And he's got his staff. He's got his rod. And he's looking out for them. And they're kind of just like walking around, having a cup of tea inside the fire. All dainty-like. And then Nebuchadnezzar says, "Well, we better let them out then, because I don't know what's going on." And they come out of that fiery furnace and they smell like the best cologne on earth. They don't even smell like fire. They're actually like just, it's like a brand new day for them. How is that possible? Because the shepherd went through there with them. You see, when you're going through your trial and your painful circumstance, you won't smell of bitterness. You won't be resentful. You won't want revenge, because Jesus is walking through with you. And I think it's high time that we stood on the Word of God and allowed ourselves to actually be welled up with His Spirit when we're walking through stuff, so that we get on side of us a tenacity and a faith that forgets about what people may think, and we start to live the kind of life that is destined for the kingdom of God, and that there is nothing that shall overcome us in this world. He's our Savior. He's our Lord. We will walk through the valley of the shadow of death and we will fear no evil. Don't let that little thing niggle away at you. "Yeah, but he did that to me. Yeah, but she did that. Do you know what she did the other day?" Stop the gossip. Let our hearts be filled with the goodness of God. If anyone's going to take revenge, well, God's good at it. It only messes us up more. we know that Moses went through the water. Walk through. Say it with me. Walk through. You know there are 365 fear nots in the Bible? One for every single day of the year. I think maybe God's thinking about this. I think maybe he knows that there's going to be situations, because when you live a high-risk God, because your faith is in him, you can expect that there's an enemy that will come at you, and sometimes with an onslaught. But thank you, Jesus, we're getting through. I will get through. See, my second point, I need to get here. God has not given you a spirit of timidity. It says in some translations fear, but it's actually timidity. God doesn't want timid people. Straight out. God doesn't want you to be timid. Are you hearing this? He doesn't want you to be timid. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given me a spirit of fear, of timidity, but of power, love, and sound mind. See, you will have a good conscience because you know your God. But here's what I've found many Christians do. Yeah, but you know, how can you be sure? I've had this from many times. How can you be sure? I thought I heard, but how can I be sure? When you're walking with God, those questions become actually irrelevant. You see, when you second guess, when you say what if, you constantly doubt, and actually you've gone to fear. See, fear doesn't come from God. Doubt doesn't even come from God. God has not given us a spirit of fear. So the devil will try and make it sound like it is God. And you can allow the devil to dominate you. You can allow the God to manipulate you into a powerless life. I don't know how many times I've thought the worst of a situation or thought the worst of someone and then gone, you know what? I've got to check in my spirit. No, no, no. Because God doesn't think that way. God thinks highly of every person. He thinks highly of you. He thinks highly of everyone in this room. He thinks highly of everybody in the world. He died for them. That must mean something, right? And so Jesus came into your life to evaporate fear. Gone. He doesn't want you living in fear. Courage comes from God. Discouragement comes from the devil. He is the author of faith. You have not received a spirit of fear. You are a new creation. You have been renewed by the Holy Spirit, and you are freed from fear. And Paul encouraged Timothy that God has not given us a spirit of timidity. See, you will become timid because you have been intimidated. Somebody has intimidated you. I sometimes see this. Well, actually, I see it a lot when in places like where I go into Liberia, and they think that they are stuck. They think that there is no escape. And maybe you're here today and you think that there is no escape, that what you have done, or maybe there's situations and you do not know the way through. Hold on to Jesus, because he's going to get you through. And we're in Africa and in some of those places, and they think we're stuck. We're totally stuck. But then C3, Nigel and some of the team, Graham Vert turns up at their doorstep out in the middle of the bush, and we stay overnight in a little hut that they give up for us so that we can stay the night. And by the time we've finished, and by the time we've played games, and by the time we've said hello to all the children, and we've been given a chicken as a goodwill present, you know, I'm telling you, they don't believe they're stuck anymore. They know they're part of a bigger world. There's nothing that God can't do. for you. I need a drink because I need to tell this story. I've got a story coming. Is that okay? Let me say this. Don't let anybody put you in a box. That's who you are. You'll never do that. You'll stay there. I don't think that's it at all. See, when God is in you, no box is going to be big enough for you. You will expand to the left and to the right. Keep going through. You will get stronger. You will expand your faith. See, it's what's inside of you that really matters. Maybe you're here today and you haven't met Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that before we finish today. If we've got Jesus with us, if we have God, our shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ with us, He will get you through. It's the Word of God. He will get you through. And the best part in all this is that when He lives inside you, there is a freedom that comes into your life that changes your perspective, and now suddenly what you thought was impossible is possible because you have an extraordinary supernatural God on your side. And boldness is a signature of God on your soul. I know no defeat. And David knew what he was talking about. As a 17-year-old boy, he took on a giant. He was called Goliath. I'm sure many of you know the story or even at least have heard about it. It was a giant that no one believed could be killed. The truth of biblical psychology is that you can behead fear. And David is writing to you through this psalm. He's saying, you are going through. And when David went to the giant, he met intimidation on three different levels. Everybody was against him doing it. Who do you think you are? You're just a boy. So the people, the voices, the Israelites, the army. But what are they doing? They're cowering in fear. They're hiding. They do not believe there's a way forward. They believe they're going to be. That's the end of really the armies of God right there. But David's not freaking out. David's not a nervous wreck. He's prepared himself already. He's been a shepherd. He understands what it is to take out a lion. And he says to the king, I'll go. All the other guys are kind of like under stress and wondering what to do. Who knows when you're under that much stress, you never make good decisions. I'm coming to realize quickly that dealing with stress, and it's far less than living with a stressful life all of your life, because without God, your life is stressful. And there are forces that try and keep us down and keep us small. The devil has come to destroy us. John 10:10, we know that scripture. And the 17-year-old saying, well, all these guys, all these voices are saying, no, 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 you can't do it. And he's saying, well, I don't feel that way. And then there's this giant. Because as David comes and presents himself in the valley of the shadow of death, right? One way or another. And he says, who is this dog? Big 9'6" guy. Massive. 5 times bigger than me. It's intimidation. You've sent your dog. And then there's big brother trying to bully him. Who do you think you are? What's got into your head, boy? And then the king himself tries to intimidate him. Saul's trying to intimidate him, but he wouldn't be intimidated. And a 17-year-old boy was able to change the king's mind. Oh, you see, when your confidence is not in those around you, when your confidence doesn't care what's on Facebook, when your confidence is not about how you're feeling inside on that particular day, because we are not led by our feelings, we are led by what we have inside of us. And David runs, he doesn't walk. He's confident, he's bold. He's an endless supply of power. And as he throws that stone, and there's only one place that there's no armor, right here. And nothing had ever entered the giant's head like that before. And he fell forwards. The whole ground rumbled. It was literally like a little earthquake. And David, now filled with supernatural strength, grabs the giant's sword, which you and I could probably not even hold. And suddenly it's a chainsaw. Off with the head. Blood going everywhere. Israel erupts. Yeah, can you imagine? Braveheart, eat your heart out. David's the winner every time. I'm going through. Your future might be black. Light will always flood darkness. Here I come. God's in control. You have to engage in the battle against fear. You can bring down fear today. Fear of marriage failure, fear of financial ruin, fear of sickness, fear of emotional stress, fear of cancer. I am over my fear today. We have confidence through faith in Him. He said, running this life is not based on talent, upbringing, money. Your faith connects you to Jesus and you overcome all your fears. Proverbs 28:1, the righteous are as bold as a lion.